Well, today it's Pentecost Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture today is from Acts 2, 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they had been seating. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated the and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." That's the reading. The next part's the interesting part. Blair asked me if I would share what the Holy Spirit's done in my life. Oh, maybe one thing only.
Yeah.
Because it is so much, as perhaps it is for many of you as well. I'll go back to September the 9th, 1979. That's 45 years ago. My life was kind of like a whiteboard full of color. Pain, suffering, sin. And in an evening service in a church, the Holy Spirit just touched me. And everything became clean and white. It was simple and yet very powerful. I knew something had happened. I had grown up knowing God in my own way, but this was different. At the same time, I became baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my life greatly changed. I'm going to fast forward now to a little bit earlier now. About 5 years ago, I left an abusive relationship. Yes, men can live in abusive relationships. And I walked out and looking for a home. I decided to come here, and of course, I considered that being led by the Spirit. I looked up at the sign, and it said, Life Fellowship. And that's what I wanted. I wanted my life back, and I wanted fellowship. So I met with Blair, and he told me, "You are welcome here by all of us, and no one will give you any harm." That made me feel very, very safe. I've been here ever since. That's 5 years ago now. And about 2 years ago or so, I was having my evening prayer with the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I need a woman." And that night I fell asleep. I had a dream. And in that dream, a woman was walking away from me, and I could not see an image, but she had light-colored hair. So I said, "I fall asleep," and I woke up, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll take that as a sign. I will be patient." Shortly after that, I met my lovely Judy, and we were married a year later. Once again, The Holy Spirit has brought love back into my life. What more can I say?
Thank you, Lord.
The thing that I've learned as well, especially here, is that God did not make a church for spectators. We are here to become involved in whatever way we feel comfortable. And we may stretch our limits, but your family and I care about you. That's why I do what I do. It's not much, but here I am and here you are. So thank you to all of you. And if you see my Judy, say hi.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. That's so good. So just before we get into the message, I just have one thing I needed to add into the announcements is that we have a men's breakfast coming up on, June 8th. That's James, by the way. James saw the ad out there this week and told me, I love men's breakfast. So it's good. Saturday, June 8th, guys, we're going to have it's going to start at 8. It was 8, right, Philip? Anyway, it's on the thing out there in the lobby. It didn't make it into the announcements this morning, but it'll be there next week. Anyways, fellas, if you could sign up, we need to know how much food. And some of you, I would encourage you to take that as a personal challenge to see if you can out-eat how much food we prepare. Yeah. No? Oh, I thought some of you guys would be all right with that. But so the purpose of it, right, is for men to connect. And actually, Philip Marion, wave Philip. Philip will share for a few minutes. And it's just a time for men to connect and to focus on relationship with one another and with the Lord. So I'd encourage you guys to Saturday, June 8th, if you're able to be involved. All right. I just wanted to make sure that got pointed out today. There is a sign up out in the lobby for it. And that'll be great. All right, here we go. So as Chris had mentioned, today is Pentecost Sunday, and so that this is what we're going to focus on today. One time a man went to we are a Pentecostal church, and if you didn't know. Anyways, one time a man went to a Pentecostal church, and as he was sitting in the service, the pastor approached him, and he looked at him, and he said to him, "Sir, you will walk today." And the man kind of looked at him and said, "Well, actually, I'm just fine, sir. I'm able-bodied. I can walk just fine." And the pastor looked at him intently and leaned in and insisted. He said, "You will walk today." And the man just looked at him and said, "Okay, all right, fine." And then later when church was done, he went out into the parking lot and found that his truck had been stolen. Come on, yeah, that's funny. You know, so yes, it is Pentecost Sunday. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what that is, Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. So it has been 50 days since we celebrated Easter. You know, even though it moves in our calendar, it for them, it was 50 days. Well, not for them, for us, it is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Now, Penta, right, where you get Pentecost, Penta means five. So that's where you get it. Pentecost, it's 550, right? And so this same day that we call, Pentecost Sunday, it was still significant in Jesus' time as well. In that the Hebrew culture, it was significant for two reasons. One, it was the Feast of Weeks, where they celebrated the wheat harvest, and it was also the day that they celebrated when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And so what had happened, right, so we have just spent a whole bunch of time in Genesis, right, in this grand story, the series of the grand story, and we're actually just about to launch into Exodus, and this is where we would find this story, where God sets Israel free from slavery in Egypt. And then they crossed the Red Sea, and they were in the wilderness on the way to the Promised Land. And it was 50 days from the time that Israel was set free from slavery to when Moses received the Ten Commandments. So that's why they have that celebration of Pentecost. And it was an important celebration within the nation of Israel. And so one of the things that you'll find in this grand story of the Bible is that God likes to repeat certain things. Have you ever noticed that? So you read through the Bible, right? God likes to repeat things. And of course, we want to pay attention to everything and anything that God says and does. But if God repeats himself, it should probably get our attention, right? Yeah. Yeah. Any parent, you know, right? When you start to repeat yourself, you're serious, right? You don't just repeat yourself for the fun of it. You repeat yourself because you want the thing that you're saying to actually sink in. And it's similar with God. The general theological rule is that if the Bible repeats something three times or more, God is establishing a lasting truth that he wants in the way that he wants things to be. Okay, so if it's three times or more, you find it in Scripture, God is trying to say to us, this is a lasting truth. And that's not to say that all truth isn't lasting, but it's one where God's like, hey, this is really important to me, which really means it's meant to be important to us because it's supposed to help us, right? And so the day of Pentecost here in Acts chapter 2 ushers in the start of the church and the ministry of the Holy Spirit here on earth, right? Chris just gave us testimony of the Holy Spirit's work in his life. Christ has set us free from the slavery of our enemy, Satan, and from the slavery of sin and death, similarly to how he set Israel free from slavery in Egypt. The Holy Spirit was then given to us, and the Holy Spirit writes God's laws on our heart in the same way that he wrote the Ten Commandments on the stones for Moses. There's a lot of similarity. Now, the thing that has shifted and changed for us now in Christ is, so Moses was given Ten Commandments, right? And it's not like they're invalid now, but it's not the law that God actually holds to us now. The law that God now holds us to is the law of love. Because Jesus is asked the question, what are the most important commandments? And he could have easily said, well, those 10 that we gave to Moses there years and years ago, what's he say? He says, the most important laws are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, they was just asked, what's the more important law? And he puts those two together as though they're the same and equal, okay? So God's law is love, and that's what he wants to write on our hearts. So we're going to look at three things. Today we're going to look at three things from the day of Pentecost, from Acts chapter 2, that will put in some perspective what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We'll address some of the common misconceptions that happen as well. And just to be clear, I love Pentecost. I love the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. But I am going to point out some things, just to be clear, okay? I am going to point out some things. And so there are some common misconceptions. Sometimes, you know, like any faith or practice, sometimes we go a little off, okay? And that has happened in Pentecost as well. And so I want to talk about three things that happen, okay? And so what it means to be filled with the Spirit and address some misconceptions, some things that maybe we shouldn't, that we have practiced, maybe shouldn't, okay? Right, so the first one is this. The first thing that happened that we see there is that they were filled completely, every single one of them. Have you ever thought that somebody has more of the Holy Spirit than you do? Of course you have, right? Okay, but they were filled on that day. And in Acts chapter 2, when they were filled completely, every single one of them. Some of them didn't get more of the Holy Spirit than others. It's not like, okay, you know, it's not like Peter and the apostles got twice as much as everybody else that was there. That's not what happened. They were all filled. It says right in there, right? They see the Spirit like flames of fire, and the Spirit goes and hovers over them, and then they're filled with the Spirit. All of them were filled. And then they were filled to this point of overflowing, which is why they began to speak. So what is a sign? What are the signs of a person being filled with the Spirit? Well, of course, if you've spent any time in a Pentecostal church, you've probably heard about speaking in tongues, right? Some of you are saying, maybe, maybe not. You probably have. Okay, tongues is absolutely a part of it because it is we believe that it is the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Spirit, but it is not the only evidence. And the reason that we believe it's the initial physical evidence is because then through the rest of Acts, you see it happen four times. So God repeats things. We should pay attention, right? And you see that repeated four times where people encounter the Holy Spirit and it says that they begin to speak in other tongues. Whether it was an earthly language or a heavenly, it doesn't always tell us. But what we know is that they spoke in a language they didn't know at that point. Okay. One of the mistakes, I told you I was going to point some out, one of the mistakes that we've made in Pentecost is emphasizing tongues over all the other evidences. We've made this mistake, I'll be honest, both as pastors and perhaps you and, you know, in pursuing this, we've made this mistake of emphasizing tongues over the other evidences, and I'm going to talk about the other evidences in just a minute. But we've emphasized it almost to the point where people actually think that the purpose of being filled with the Spirit is to actually speak in tongues, but that's not right. That's actually not biblical. It is not the purpose of being filled with the Spirit. It's the evidence. It's one of the things that will that probably will happen. I believe it that it will and it can. Not everybody that gets filled with the Spirit always speaks in tongues right away. I've noticed that. And my theology kind of goes, well, that doesn't make sense. And God, as though we can somehow define God, right? Well, God, you did it four times in Acts, so why aren't you doing it with these other people? And God's like, who do you think you are? We do this, okay? And so we've emphasized it to the point where the people actually think that is the only purpose, is to speak in tongues, as though, and then they're kind of left wondering, well, why would I want that? Why should I want that? What is the purpose? Here's the thing. Jesus told them what the purpose was in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power from God is the purpose of being filled with the Spirit. Not speaking in tongues. Okay? Now, I do believe that tongues is a prayer language, and it can help us in our relationship with God. Sometimes the Spirit, the Bible describes that the Spirit can pray through us in ways that we don't know or understand. But that isn't the true purpose. The true purpose is to receive power from God. That's the purpose of being filled with the Spirit. Is there anybody here? Like, is there anybody here that couldn't use more power from God in your life? Come on, right? Like, are you just, you're like, no, I'm good. I am, like, maxed out. I got all the power from God I need. Vibing at 100, me and God. Right? Come on, we all need more power from God in our daily life, don't we? We need more power of God in our church, right, in our communities, in our homes, our schools, our workplaces. We need this. We need the power of God. Because it's the power of God that took us, or if you don't have a relationship with Christ, here's how it works. It's the power of God that takes us from being dead in our sin to alive in Christ. Christ is the way that it happens, but it's the power of God that does it in us. We can't do it ourselves, right? We can't make ourselves born again. It's the power of the Spirit in us that does it. It's the power of God that accomplishes anything supernatural in us or through us. We're just along for the ride when God does it. And we can position ourselves, right? We can be active in it, but it's God who does it. I've prayed for people to be healed and seen it happen. Some of you have as well, okay? But if you ask me, do I know how to heal somebody? I have no idea. All I know is that I pray with faith and then God does what God does. It's him. It's his power at work, not mine. Okay, in saying that, the power of God is available to us in our day-to-day life too. Not just for those big supernatural things that we often pray for, but the Holy Spirit, his power, his work is available to us in our day-to-day life. It's the power of God that helps us to live for him in what can be a difficult and evil world. You ever felt discouraged? You ever felt tempted? You ever felt like wandering away? Okay, it's the power of God that helps us persevere. It's the power of God that helps us deal with demonic forces that want to deceive and harm us. It's the power of God that helps us in times of temptation, helps us deal with the evil that can live in our own heart and mind. It's the power of God that helps us to love other people, to truly love others like Jesus. What is God's law for us? To love God and to love others. I've noticed in my life that when I feel weak in my relationship with God, when I'm not close or connected to God, it's way easier for me to not like people. Okay? But I've noticed that when I feel filled with the Spirit, when I feel close and connected to God, it's way easier for me to not notice those things that normally would get under my skin and to simply love them. Does that resonates with you, right? Okay, this is why we need the power of God in our life, because there is a hurting world all around us. And there is blatant evil lots of times out and around us. And we could either be offended and we could point a finger at them and tell them how awful they are, or we could be filled with the power of God and love them despite all that, because isn't that what God has done for us? God so loved the world. While we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love for us. And he died for us. Right? God, we need the power of God to truly love people. Romans 5:5 says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." And 1 Corinthians 13:1, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." See, one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is love. Love first for God, and then love for others. And it won't always make sense, where you're just like, yeah, I know that person is far from God, or they've done something evil to me, but I love them. It won't make human sense. Here's the thing. I don't care if you speak in tongues if Jesus isn't your first love. I don't care if you speak in tongues if you don't love others. And I'm going to be real honest, like, as Pentecostals, we are guilty of that. We do this sometimes. It's because we haven't understood the purpose. We've gotten distracted. We've thought being filled with the Spirit was just about speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues on a regular basis in my prayer life, just to be clear. I love Pentecost. But I also want us to handle this properly, because we're meant to be filled with the power of God so that we love people. There's more. Here's some more evidences. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your heart, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what's this tell us? Right? This tells us that an evidence of being filled with the Spirit is a deep desire to worship and to connect with the Lord out of a place of thankfulness, of gratitude. That's an indicator of being filled with the Spirit. And there's just a song inside your heart that has to come out, you know, whether it's actual singing or not, but it's worship, right? It's just like, I have to be with him. I have to connect with the Lord. It has to be expressed to him, right? That is when the Bible talks about deep calling out to deep, or our spirit connecting with his Spirit. And so this is what that is, and that's an evidence of being filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody, who was a famous preacher, said this. He said, "I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride, selfishness, and ambition, and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we're full of pride, conceit, and ambition, and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled." Okay, so let me encourage you. Okay, that in being filled with the Spirit, don't make the pursuit about whether you speak in tongues or not. I do think that will happen, but that's not meant to be the thing you're emphasized, that you're focused on, okay? Don't make that the goal. The goal is Jesus. And before you get there, you have to empty yourself of things like pride and selfishness and ambition. Consider how pride, selfishness, and ambition work in relationship to love. Pretty hard to love somebody else when you're full of pride, when you're selfish, when you're full of ambition. When you're full of ambition, you will roll over other people, right? Okay? Of course, when you're selfish, you're thinking about you before others. Pride always gets in the way of us really loving other people. And so those are the things that we deal with before we come to this place where the Spirit begins to fill us. Okay. Number two, there's three things. Number two is that faith was exercised. Okay, so it says in verse 4, everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking. So it was faith that was exercised as they spoke. Moving their tongue was an expression or act of faith. So how did that happen? Well, it's not like God, you know, flipped a switch in them. Like, he didn't turn on some kind of a linguistic machine that began to move their tongues for them. People who spoke in those languages that they did not know were not having a seizure. They weren't suddenly losing control or going into some kind of a trance, because God is not creating religious robots. But they came to a place where their pride, their conceit, their selfishness was fully submitted to God, and the Spirit began to fill them. And then in partnership with the Spirit of God, they, by faith, began to move their tongues, and languages that they did not know came out. That's stunning to me. Think about, why would God start the church that way? Except to be a witness to his power. Okay? So they spoke. It takes some faith. You have to actually begin to speak, to move your tongue. But think about this. You can't speak any language. You can't speak English if you don't move your tongue, right? Okay? It's no different here. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, whether it's in tongues, or whether it's in prophecy, whether it's encouragement, whether it's just in kindness towards another person, or whether it's maybe in correction, they all require, to do it God's way, all require submission and surrender to the Spirit. Each and every one requires submission and surrender. Each and every one of them require a step of faith. So instead of focusing on what is or isn't happening, focus on Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who baptizes us. He's the one that baptizes in the Spirit. It's the same idea as when we baptize someone in water. Okay, so when we take somebody and we dunk them under the water, what happens? Okay, as somebody that's done it, if they were to fight me, right? You know, it wouldn't work, would it? They have to submit, they have to surrender and allow me to take them and put them under the water. And then as they go under, what happens? The water overwhelms them. The water floods over them. It's the same way in being filled with the Spirit. We willingly come to Jesus. We ask to be filled with the Spirit, surrendering, submitting to him. We can't fight him along with it. I mean, you can try. It won't get you very far. And let's be honest, we've all fought with the Lord. We've all resisted. We've all dug in our heels at different times, haven't we? Okay? And God is gentle and patient. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll wait. And then he does. And so we come and we say, okay, Lord, I come, I submit, I surrender. Fill me with your Spirit. And then Jesus takes us and he plunges us deep into the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit floods into our soul. Our soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotion. Faith is involved in being filled with the Spirit. It's not just an experience with God, but it's actually meant to transform and to change us, which isn't that the point of the Christian life? Transformation and change, to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always at work in us doing that. Okay, last one. This fear was expressed. What do they say? They say, well, they're drunk, they've had too much wine. Okay, this is 9 in the morning, just to be clear, right, when this happens. So, but this is what is expressed. They're saying they've had too much wine. And so the move of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, I recognize that it makes some people nervous. And maybe you're here and you're like, oh, I'm sorry I came to church today. I didn't know it was Pentecost Sunday. I wish I'd looked. Right? Relax. It's okay. The Holy Spirit's gentle. And we will be gentle too. Because that's honoring to God and to you. I'm not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. No differently than God will not. But fear does happen in us. Right? Sometimes things that we don't know or understand scare us a little bit. And so, let me encourage you that the reason, the purpose of being filled with the Spirit is to know the power of God. Don't we all need more of the power of God in our life? Okay, it's not necessarily, it isn't about having you pray in some kind of strange language. I do believe that'll happen. Don't get me wrong. For those of you that are like, I can't believe you're saying that. I'm trying to refocus us on what actually is really matters in this. To be filled with the power of God. And in being filled with that power of God, His love will overwhelm our heart, our soul, our mind. That's what I remember when I was filled with the Spirit. Was that the presence of the love of God, just from head to toe, literally tingling from head to toe. And I just knew how deeply God loved me. Now, since that time, I was 18 then. It's just like 10 years ago. Sorry. Sometimes I just can't help myself. Okay, since that time, life's happened. Good things, bad things. Sometimes I find myself in these kind of dark, dry, desperate places. I'm not the only one, right? I know I'm not it. And what happens there, or what is supposed to happen, what I try to do, and what I would encourage you in, is to go back, first off, to remember, if you've had that experience with God, to recall it, to remember it, to think, Lord, I think back, I was just about 18 years old, and I was sitting on a couch all by myself, and I was reading the Bible and praying, and I felt the Spirit of God come on me. And for me, it was, I had broken a bone in my neck, and I was actually praying for God to heal me, and I knew that God was healing me as He did that, and my whole body began to tingle, and then I heard God audibly say to me, into this right ear, now speak in tongues, and it just came out of me. And the reason I think He actually spoke to me audibly was because I think I was all alone, and I think He was kind of like, hey man, you're not getting what's happening, so let me help you out a little bit. And the love of God just overwhelmed me. And sometimes life has been hard, and I've forgotten about how much the Father loves me. I'm not alone in that. And so we come because we need the power of God, and we need to know His love for us. We need to know it. Because as we live in it, as we walk in and live in the power and the love of God, right, then He uses us as a witness all around. All around. So, my goal in talking about this is to try and disarm a little bit those of you that might be here and feeling a little fearful and wondering, okay, what is, you know, what's that Pentecostal pastor going to make us do? I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm going to invite you to do some things. I'm going to invite you to come forward and to worship and to pray. You know, you can, of course, stay in your seat too, but I'm going to, you know, if you want to be filled new and fresh today, or filled for the first time, if you need the power of God, right? If you're like, I just need to know the love of God for me today, I'm going to invite you. If the worship team can come back now, all right? The worship team, come on back. And as the worship team, as we lead you, and I invite you, if you'd want to come down and you just want to be in God's presence, if you want to be filled with that spirit today, right? I'd invite you to come, and there's no pressure. No pressure for me, right? And if you feel scared, it might just take a step of faith, and that's okay. I'm not trying to push you in it. I'm asking you to consider it. You see, God just desires to meet us. He desires. He loves you. I've told you over and over again, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He just loves you.